Wednesday, it happens.
30 hours in the bush with nothing.
Elliot Tazza's Night of Survival.
We are getting thrown in the Sunny Coast bushland with nothing but a muesli bar each, maybe some basic survival items, something to hopefully create a fire with, and that's about it.
That's about it. So we're dreading this, Taz, and we think no one's ever had it tougher than this.
Yeah.
How wrong we are. In doing some research to get ready for this challenge, I've stumbled across the most incredible story. Mm. Woman named Michelle Pittman. She went for a walk one weekend with her 9-year-old son in the bush and got lost. Ended up spending 10 days in the wilderness lost. She's actually written a book about it called Lost, and she joins us now. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, everyone.
What a story this is. This is just incredible. 2017 it happened, is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about it. What happened?
So we actually went for a walk in the Mount Royal National Park, and we only went there to actually check it out, not actually to explore. And being the curious creatures that we are, we actually did explore, and we accidentally got off the track, and we never found our way back to it.
So you hadn't intended to go out and camp even a single night? You just were having a look around?
Nope. Yep, that was it. We were just looking at it.
Not only is it a scary situation to find yourself in, also I'm thinking of it in terms of being a parent as well, Michelle. Like, you've got your son there. Firstly, you'd be nervous and scared yourself, but you don't really want to show that, do you?
No, and that was the thing. I always had to feel like I had to keep a brave face, but even though I was packing it.
At what stage do you think he cottoned on that it was a bit of a serious situation?
It wasn't until about the second day when I realised we weren't finding our way back to that track. We had trekked all day, and the second night I realised that we were actually in really deep trouble.
Oh, so what did you have on you?
Just our clothes. Just what we had on was just short shirt, shoes. That was it.
Oh, my goodness.
Was there a moment in there that stands out as being sort of the worst part of the whole thing, Michelle, or...?
Yeah, the worst part would have been when Dylan turned purple.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Why? Why did he turn purple?
That was on the ninth day. He just had no water, nothing in his system.
Mm-hmm.
It was taking its toll, so, yeah, I knew. I knew he was in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And you sound like, it still kind of haunts you to this day.
It does.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah. It's an incredible story, what you've been through, Michelle. We really appreciate you sharing it with us. How did you survive?
Oh, I get asked this question all the time, It's just pure determination, willpower, and a lot of love.
Mm.
Dylan was my strength. He really was.
I suppose it would have been, comforting in a way that you weren't doing it alone, even if he was only 9 years old and maybe there's not a whole lot of logistical and technical help he could have offered, just having someone there to go through it with you would have been a comfort.
It was, and I think that's bonded us even more because we did it together. And I do remember that... when we actually went to the rescue site, when we walked out, that an SES worker actually asked me, do I think I would have survived if Dylan wasn't with me? And at the time, I actually said no.
Mm. Yeah.
Reflecting back, knowing that I had children on the at home or in their own homes, mm-hmm. I would have still fought like I did, even alone.
Yeah.
What's it like, Michelle, having something like that? I mean, Ellie and I haven't had near-death experiences, I guess, and so we don't have that appreciation. Everybody that says that they go through something like this, they come out the other side and they go, everybody just needs to absolutely make the most of every single day. Do you still have that even years on?
Yes, I do. I'm in the process right now of actually creating a bucket list.
Yeah.
Because it just shows that life will always throw you a curveball and you just never know what's around the corner.
What's Absolutely. The first couple of weeks like, Michelle, after something like that? After you come back and you go, oh, my gosh, this is the second lease on life. Do you just take a couple of weeks off work or are you straight back to work on Monday? Like, what's that first couple of weeks like where you're just going, hang on a second, I'm still here and it's kind of okay?
it actually wasn't weeks, it was months.
Yeah.
Even to the point of years. It was allowing myself to process what had happened. And for me, it was more I had to forgive myself, and that took years. Because I carried a lot of guilt,
yeah,
believing it was my fault when we crossed over. So, yeah, there's no time on this, and every circumstance and situation is going to be very different. But in the end, it's your mindset on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to go for a bushwalk since?
I have, actually.
Amazing.
I'm not back in the, I haven't done the trail or in the Mount Royal or anything, but Dylan and I actually together went up to the Three Sisters in the Blue Mountains.
Wow.
And we chose a track to do that was very busy with people.
Yep.
So we knew if we got into any trouble, there was heaps of people around us to help us.
And did you just pack like a bunch of treats, you know, like marshmallows, just overload yourself with goodies? I'm going back in the bush
actually,
this time. It's with comfort and style.
No, I just made sure we had, first thing I did was make sure someone knew where we were going.
Yep.
And we made sure we chose a place that was busy.
Mm-hmm.
And no, we just packed the bare essentials. It was just water, some lunch, fruit.
Wow, good on you for getting back on the horse. That's huge.
What did you learn from the 10 days, Michelle, out there that maybe Ellie and I can use in our challenge? I know it's nothing to the same degree as what you experienced, but we're 30 hours out there with just us. Is there anything that we can do that maybe you learnt along the way?
Yeah, so definitely that fire starter is going to come in handy because overnight it's absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
And it's going to provide some light and wear every item you own in your wardrobe.
Yeah.
Because that cold. It is absolutely that cold.
They've
always stay together.
Yeah, that is a big one. They've told us what we can take with us, but they haven't mentioned what we can wear.
Mm.
So I'm planning my ski gear, Michelle. I'm thinking head
yes.
to toe in the same
absolutely.
Stuff I wore in Japan. And in terms of like building a shelter, did you do any of that while you were out there, or were you just constantly
I
on
did.
The move?
No, when we actually stood still and I knew that we were in some places for the night or a couple of nights, I actually built some shacks, actually just breaking branches of trees.
Yeah, right.
I actually surprised myself, to be honest. I didn't even know I could do that.
Oh, well, that's what we're hoping to do next
yes.
week, surprise ourselves.
Right.
It really opens up your abilities on what you thought you couldn't do. Or yeah, just, I don't know, just... I think it's going to be different in your circumstances. It's going to be not going to be a life or death situation, but I feel that just in that in the circumstance, even in your case, just doing it for 30 hours, like it's going to really just give you a different perspective.
I'm sure you get it all the time, Michelle. What was that first meal that you wanted after being rescued?
I actually couldn't eat.
Oh, wow.
No, I did not want food at all. I actually had to be. Fed.
Really?
My mum actually was feeding me because I did not want food. It was disgusting. It tasted gross. It was just foul.
Yeah.
Dylan, though, on the other hand, loved everything that got put in front of him.
Typical 9-year-old there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I would have been straight to Macca's getting me a big old cheeseburger.
We got offered Subway when we actually came out. And I'm really sorry to say Subway because I absolutely love salad, but it was the most disgusting thing I had tasted.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
I wonder what the psychology behind that is, you know?
I feel like it was because it was like something soggy. And not that it was soggy, but it was like wet.
Yeah.
And you need something just dry to start off with,
yeah.
not a full-on ham and salad roll.
Yeah. Did
you... In saying that, I don't think it really made a difference. I just couldn't eat at first.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you eat anything while you were out there?
No. I wish. And saying, like, we've actually watched a lot of Bear Grylls episodes, and I'm sorry to say, but that man is full of shit.
You mean you can't drink your own wee through a camel skin?
Well, we did that too.
You did
we
that?
We did that too.
Okay.
But he made it look too easy, and all his survival things that he's doing, no way.
Oh, that's so... We haven't watched any Bear Grylls, Tazzy, in the lead up to next week. Probably for the best.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's stay away from him now. Michelle, because if people are listening now, they've been inspired by your story. We'll tell them about the book in a second. What bit of life advice would you like to give people? Like, you've had that, you've come back, you've got this second lease on life. The rest of us here are just living it like it's normal. Can you tell us something that might wake us all up?
Oh, live your life to the fullest. Fulfill all your dreams, because you just never know.
Absolutely. That is good advice. Wow. Michelle Pittman, what a story. For more of it, please, Sunny Coast, check out her book. It's called Lost. It's all about this experience.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on and being so raw and sharing your story with us, Michelle, because, I mean, look, what we're doing is nothing at all in comparison to what you've been through. But, you know, it has helped us in the preparation.
Actually, one thing I will say is you will realise just how noisy or loud our lives are.
Lions?
No, lives.
Oh. Our lives.
Lions, Ellie, like, you idiot.
Oh, no one told me there was lions out there in Australia.
Oh, you're going to break out in all sort of karate music if you see one of them. Yeah, it really goes to show just how loud our lives are.
Yeah.
Because while you're in there, you're going to just, it's going to be so silent and, in a sense, peaceful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you may experience that, yeah, it's just so quiet. And even reflecting back, sometimes I make a joke and say, like, oh, little did I know how good we had it. Like, I didn't have housework to do. Yeah. I didn't have rent to pay. Like, yes, if only we weren't fighting for our lives.
Yeah, it would have been a nice camping trip then.
It would have been.
Michelle, it goes to show you've never met Ellie before. Nothing about her is quiet. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to have a quiet 30 hours out there.
Yeah. No.
It's not so much yourselves, it's just your surroundings.
Well, I'd like the surroundings to be very quiet. To be quiet, actually. I don't want the sound of wildlife.
It's going to be very quiet.
That's a bit scary. All right, Michelle. Well, thank you so, so much for giving us some time this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you both so much. It was a pleasure.
That's it for Ellie and Taz today. If you missed anything, download their podcasts. Search Ellie and Taz in your podcast app. 91.9 CFM.